PWHL is down to the last final couple games this week as we head into the playoffs, and things are still not decided. We have some meaningful games coming up. The standings are tight, so we're going to cover all of that this week, and I have a very special guest joining me. Welcome on in to the PWHL Puck Drop Podcast.
It's time for the PWHL Puck Drop Podcast.
We are so happy this week to be joined, and you'll probably recognize her face. It's Daniela Ponticelli, play-by-play, freelance journalist, broadcast announcer, wearer of so many hats that we can't even keep tabs on them all. Welcome in, Daniela.
Thank you so much for having me. This is great.
Thank you. Really appreciate you making the time, and I know you're really busy with PWHL and other things, so we're going to ask you about your busy life and your busy schedule for sure. And we want to talk a little bit about just the weekend's games and how tight the standings are. We had two very impactful games this weekend. Boston able to get the win, and then Montreal visiting in Ottawa. And I know you called that game. What can you tell us about that one?
Well, there's always something about Canadian rivalries. Of course, I am Canadian, so there's a little extra to it. But I mean, from the get-go, there was a lot of energy in the building, final home game, and a rematch. The first time Montreal back inside TD Place, right, since that super close home opener for Ottawa, that in so many ways, I think back to that game, it was January 2nd, second game of the entire league history ever. And it set a tone, much like Toronto's game with New York did the very first day. But this one was set a tone, the physicality. I remember it so vividly. So we weren't sure quite what to expect. This team had played each other now four games coming into it. But it really was a tale of each period. Scoreless through the first, neck and neck. And then Montreal takes off as they do with great puck control. They're able to get on the board and really take it away in so many ways. It really felt like that first goal was going to be huge, and it ended up being really big, Laura Stacey getting that one. But then Ottawa comes out in the third, and this is what they do, right? They have really strong third periods, and you just never know. We've also seen it go the other way with Ottawa. I don't think I'll ever forget that New York comeback in the third period that happened as well at TD Place, where it ended up being four unanswered goals going into overtime. I know that that probably stings for Ottawa fans because something similar played out in New York this week as well. But it is one of those things with Ottawa, and you just felt like maybe something could happen, and then it didn't. And that disallowed goal actually also kind of harkens back to the home opener because there was a disallowed goal, although that was very, very evident in Mikayla Grant Mentis's goal that could have been the very first Ottawa goal ever scored. So lots of moments that I find in this season, I find that really poetic about hockey, is that there's always those moments of just things that come back or things
full
that happen
moments
in a series, right? And it's the same people in the same building. But all of that aside, the actual game, of course, ended up going to Montreal. And that's the thing. You got two hot teams. One of them, things have to get shaken up. And for Ottawa, it was them. And I mean, now that certainly kept things, as we know, very interesting. You set it off the top.
Very interesting. And Boston, you know, refusing to give in and concede. So there are actually three teams still battling for those last two spots. There is a scenario where Minnesota could miss the playoffs. It would be pretty much everything going right and wrong. But
there is, and I just want to jump in on that because that's one of the things, right? People are talking about battle for the final spot, but really, you know, depending on how Ottawa had played this past weekend, they could, you know, there was that quite a large, it seemed, possibility that maybe they slot into third. And nothing is truly mathematically out just yet at the time that we're talking because of the 3-point system. That's what makes this so exciting, right? 3 points for a regulation win. And that's just how we'll see how things shake out. But New York, of course, now officially clinching their first overall draft pick. And, you know, good for them, right? That's exactly the point of the gold plan. You don't tank. You keep playing. You keep pushing. And what an effort we saw from New York.
Yeah, that was an exciting game, and did harken back to the other comeback that New York pulled off over Ottawa. So You're right, the full circle and sort of similarities, and then certain players always seeming to play well or not against other teams. There are so many storylines. That's why it's been so much fun to cover. So just to ask you about the call for the game, because that's what you do, and we've been hearing your voice more and more on the games, which you love to see it, I will say. And you called this one with Becky Keller, and you've worked with various color commentators or analysts and done the play-by-play yourself. Can you tell us who you've worked with, maybe who you is new for you to work with this season, and just kind of about that relationship between yourself as a play-by-play and the color to craft a story? I know that's important for you.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you asked that because I never get to hype up all the amazing color commentators I work with. It is honestly, it's been a pleasure. All of them have been so great. I've had the opportunity to work with, just want to make sure I'm not missing anybody. Yeah, four different color commentators. Becky and I are usually a pair just given our geography and where we are, but we all have different schedules and there's a lot on the go. So I have had the chance, obviously, to work with Cheryl Pounder. And prior to the PWHL, I had worked along with her at a different tournament, but didn't get to call with her. So that was my very first call with Cheryl, was the inaugural
Nice.
game. And so there was so many just pinch me moments. I actually have a photo on my wall of that, and it was just so special to share it with her. I don't know if that day would have been quite the same because she just had so much to bring into it, right? And
Yeah.
that's what I mean by that. It's just so special. I'm very honored. I've worked with Soraya Tinker. She's been great.
Yes.
And then I also got to work alongside Hannah Button, and that was Hannah Button's very first color commentary opportunity. So that's really special. You know, you feel a little bit extra like, oh my goodness, this is your first. Okay, let's do it, right? So that was really special too. So four absolutely incredible people. And you talked about the relationship crafting stories. The great thing is we have such great communication with our entire production team, and that's kind of the best way that we can do this. And there's always room to grow, and that's also part of our conversations is how do we do this better? How do we make this more clear? How do we adjust, you know, take a little bit of feedback here and work with it? And our teams have been absolutely great. And when I say our teams in Canada, I have to say a big kudos and shout out to Dome Productions because they handle that. And so it's just been incredible. But it's certainly working with a lot of new people all the time,
Right.
different producers. It's not quite the same as when you know one entity owns something, and I'm not complaining. It's been great, right? I've had a chance to meet so many amazing people and learn, and that's exactly what it is. And it's allowed our broadcasts to be, I think, the very best that they are.
Oh gosh, yes. And Soraya Tinker is brand new to commentating, I believe, or at least, you know, this is the
Yeah,
first time I've
absolutely.
she's made that transition, and you've helped her along the way. So I want to go back to that first game, and maybe just also the fact that this is a brand new league and all of the players are somewhat new. Now, some are familiar, of course, from, you know, international play. But for you, and if you want to tell us anything about that historic first game, of course, that's you know, it's been told, but you know, it might be different from your point of view. Can you tell us about all the firsts and the way it has felt to jump into this and to have to learn on the fly, to have to know all the players' names, to have to, you know, just forge on ahead and make this happen? How's that been?
It's interesting because I've had time to reflect on the first game, and it still feels so large and amazing and huge in my mind that I still can't properly kind of round out that experience. But what I will say is, yeah, the absolute being there for the first time. And I remember I got to go to Mattamy the day right before, so December 31st, and just seeing PWHL on the, you know, decorated around the rink and the banners hanging, and just instant excitement for what's to come and the people that will be walking through that door and getting to witness this for the first time. And that's usually where my head is at, is just, I can't wait to share this with everybody, right? When I see, if you get a sneak peek at something, you're like, oh, can we just tell everybody already? Can we just do this? That's the kind of excitement I had about it. And One thing I found, I'll never forget this. There was this lovely couple in the crowd watching practice that day. So PWHL Toronto on the ice. And the gentleman says, "Oh, who is that?" And he's like looking over, and Natalie Spooner is there, and you've got Sarah Nurse. And I got to say to them, I'm like, "Well, you're looking at, you know, professional women's hockey players, and this is who this is, and this is who this is." And I would love, you know, to just like that. That was the moment. That was the moment before everything opened up and everything became even bigger, and people know these players, right? I think that was always a little moment in my head. I'm like, that's all going to change tomorrow.
Yes.
That is all going to change tomorrow. So as for the game itself, it was a wild ride. I remember being quite nervous personally, but also knowing it's okay. You know, we're all here. It's still hockey in the end. Let the emotions flow through. I was very grateful that our mics were off during the pregame ceremonies, because there was no way Cheryl and I were getting through that without shedding a tear. And Cheryl was very emotional, and rightly so. It was incredibly moving just to see everybody. And again, it's the crowd. It's that energy that you feel from the crowd where you just know everyone's having this moment and we're having it together. And that's really, really special. And then, of course, the hockey starts and it's exciting and you get the first ever goal. You get the first ever this, you get the first ever shutout. You get the first, there's all of these firsts that just unfold. And I think that will always be special. I think if you were to ask me what my favorite moment was, I have so many from this season. I don't know if anything can top game one, because it's just, it's its own thing and will forever be its own thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it must have been quite something, and, you know, an honor to be asked to call that. And it was a great call with yourself and Cheryl. Happy to see her have that moment. So as you
I would just like to say that never in my wildest dreams did I have that honor in my mind, right? And I you absolutely, thank you for saying that. It was a complete honor. It was incredibly nerve-wracking. I mean, I'm going through the holidays going, this is happening, right? This is going to happen. And even the amount of time that I knew that I was doing this was fairly short, given, of course, everybody understands how quickly the league, you know, got up and going, and kudos to everybody who made it happen. There were a lot of people who didn't have holidays in December, right? It was just around the clock work. And I'm not including myself in that. I'm talking about the people who made this all possible. So I always want to give credit where it's due, and they made it all come together, answered all of our questions. And we had many, we had questions about rules. We had questions about, hey, this jailbreak thing, how is that going to happen? You know, there's all of this excitement. That was another thing we got to introduce, of course. And that's now just become a part of PWHL. Right,
yeah,
there.
it's one of the famous PWHL lore now that's, you know, there's t-shirts with jailbreak and all of that. That's exciting. And okay, so just to backtrack for a little bit, because you mentioned that, and nobody had a big lead time, but I think you were scheduled to do work in the WHL, how soon did you know you were going to be doing this and sign on, and you know, what was the process like there, finding out?
It's one of those things that happened so quickly. And what I mean by that is, when you make choices in life to go after your dreams and pursue something that seems a little crazy, a little like, okay, you're going to be a play-by-play announcer. Sure. Yes, you are. You just kind of go where the journey takes you. And for me, that also included a bit of a personal note in that my partner lived out in the GTA. And so I had to make a choice of, I'm working in Saskatchewan. That's where I was. I loved it. That's where I really got to dip my feet into hockey and get so many reps and learn from so many amazing people, be around women's hockey programs, calling men's hockey too, all of those things kind of developing, and finding myself going, okay, I think I'm going to make this move to be for my personal life. Like, it really was. It was a personal choice to come out to Ontario. And so this is a little bit of a personal thing, but it was through that I realized that, okay, well, there is this new league, and I had made contacts and I had done everything that I could to get myself out there. And it was a little bit of right time, right place. And I, I'm forever grateful. I don't know how else to put it. I'm so still blown away by how it all came together, where operation or operation preparation meets opportunity, right? That's how
Opportunity.
some people
Yes, that's what it is.
describe luck. Yeah. Preparation meets opportunity. And I think that's what happened, is that it worked out well that I was already also going to be here. I don't know if that would have been a prerequisite, but the fact that I was here and I knew people and I had done work in the space and I was still so eager to learn, and that's always going to be the basis of it, by the way. I just want to learn. I just want to keep learning, and I'm constantly in pursuit of that, and that's still what's happening here. So this has been a wonderful, wonderful journey. I wish I could tell somebody this is what you got to do to get into it, but I think the most important thing is just keep doing what you want to do, and stay true to that. Stay true to your values and where you want to go. But that's how it came to be, and it did come together quite quickly. It was pretty much having an audition in November, and then hey, January 1st, here we come.
And as you've gone through the season, I'm sure there have been some surprising things, some challenges, and you do so many games, and we found you doing the U Sports Championship. You did some World Championship coverage. Can you just tell us a little bit about your busy schedule?
Well, I first of all, I love it. So I just
You
want to
have
start
to.
there. I love it. It's one of those things where I think from the outside it does seem very busy, and it is, but it's also, I've been able to find a good groove with it, because this truly is, for the months that the PWHL has existed, this has been my life. This has been what I can pour my energy into, which is always what I wanted, because before this, doing play by play, I'd have to do that as a side thing, and it was, okay, you're still working your regular day job, and then you got to find room to research and learn names and get ready. So this has been an absolute treat. You just get to sink my teeth into this, and it's not without its challenges, as you said, because it's also learning a new lifestyle. Oh, and I had just moved, actually, just up until yesterday, there were boxes right behind me. So that just goes to show you, it's like the busyness is exciting, but I think it has been the biggest challenge for me, has been trying to marry the, okay, I still have to live a life and find quiet time and balance, but I love this. This is so incredible. So very quickly, yes, love my schedule. I was so fortunate to get to cover games, obviously in Toronto where I'm nearby, but Ottawa, Montreal, getting to do that with a number of networks and so many great people and great teams. Again, our producers are fantastic. And just to balance it out, it is a lot of making sure that as soon as you're done a game, okay, it's on to the next one. As much as I want to debrief and recollect and think about that other game, who's next? So it's a little bit of balancing that. When it comes to, I know a lot of people have questions about players' names. One thing I love about this league is that there's six teams. And so after, you've spent some time familiarizing yourself, you really know, you feel like you've got a good understanding of the teams. And then as players are traded, that's important to keep a hold of. One little weird quirk I've discovered about myself is that there's certain numbers that I will remember so easily, and others that become so difficult. I don't know what it is. It's kind of like when you get into the 30s for me, for some reason, I have a harder time. Like my memory is so good with single digits, the teens, favorite numbers. Like I'm a eight is my favorite number. So any player who's number eight, I got you. Anyone who's 88, I got you. So I think everybody, like the Lexia Gias of the world. But that's just in the initial memorizing and familiarity of just of the names, because you do have to know the numbers. It's not as great as being able to see a nameplate, as you have to know the numbers. So yeah, anyway, that's just an aside. And I mentioned this because I'm like, I wonder if anyone else is that way with numbers, right? You have certain things that you can remember so much better than other things, and
I
that's
am.
just something I've learned about it. Yeah,
I
something I've learned about myself.
and I credited you for just, being so accurate and knowing so much about the players. I know you have your notes, but to pull that all together during a live broadcast, which oh, there's Sophie Jakes, by the way, you know, this happened and here she is with an assist and, you know, paralleling it back to something that happened earlier. That's what to me, I consider the storytelling and the, you know, just having that knowledge on the fly. But I suppose that comes from all of your work with all of the other sports and literally being a camera person on the sidelines or, you know, doing an ISO cam on players and just knowing everything full circle from all sides of it. If you could tell us a little bit about your experience, we'll go into some of it, but there's so much. We don't have 3 hours, unfortunately.
I know. And I'm very chatty, as you could tell.
No, of course. But, you know, you know, I'm sure that experience comes into play.
Yes. And I think it's funny you mentioned that because one of the things that scared me about play-by-play initially was this, oh, I'm going to be expected to know all this stuff. And how could I possibly do that? So I just want to address that very quickly. You know, that is something that did cross my mind especially when I was just starting. And so it's just important, as with anything, to realize it's baby steps. And for so many of my first games that I called, all I really concerned myself with, I'm talking about pre-PWHL, was, okay, just call the play. And now I was working on radio as well, which calling the play is that much more important. Mm-hmm. And I learned quickly, okay, you got to talk about the puck before you talk about the player when it comes to radio. And that's a very simplified version of it, but you have to explain to people, you have to paint the picture of where the puck is in space when you're on radio versus obviously television. So television does allow far more room to have that conversation, to hear from the color commentator, to kind of open up and talk a little bit about, say, a Sophie Jakes and what she was able to accomplish. And so I've really only started working that muscle the more I've done some TV broadcasts. And I started doing my first hockey TV broadcast would have been early 2022. And it was an SJHL, Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League game out in Kindersley. took me 6 hours to get there.
Oh,
for folks who don't know, where's Kindersley? Yeah. It's north of Regina. And it doesn't normally take that long to get there, but in a blizzard it does.
Oh,
but it was just such a great experience because it was a strange change going from radio to television and finding myself with more space to, okay, yes, come on in, color commentator. Let's have this discussion. Let's kind of talk more about the story of the game while also providing play-by-play when needed. So there's that. As for my background, yeah, I think a lot of people don't know this. The being behind the mic came after I had really started in sports doing kind of everything, but I did some work in the truck, meaning production truck, where they send the games. And I know out in Ontario, people will know, you know, Rogers TV very well, but out in Saskatchewan for a long time, there's Shaw TV, there's Access Communications, very similar, right? Your fantastic local crews that are putting on these productions. And so I would do a little bit of everything. I did do camera work actually in both football and in hockey. And hockey, it was everything.
It was
corner cam, handheld, which is really fun because you realize how fast everyone is. And that was for the WHL with the Regina Pats.
Yes.
And it was also, hey, in your ear, we got to find people for the kiss cam, or hey, we need some fans dancing, or hey, we need this. So then you go and you try to find people. When you're handheld, you have to go, you know, you have to walk around. It really opened my eyes, and I'm always so grateful to everyone on our crews, because as much as I get the absolute benefit of being the voice, everyone else is making it look so easy and effortless. And I always as well want to just remind viewers at home that when you know, say Becky and I are talking about a player and all of a sudden you see the player, that is our whole crew at work, right? A whole crew understanding, we need a shot of Haley Scamora. We need this, you know, we want to see this. And sometimes it's the visual that leads us into what we're talking about because we're just kind of all working together. We do obviously have communication in our ear, but it's not always that direct. Sometimes it's as simple as you're going with the flow of the game and the story. And that's when you do your best work.
Yes, I agree. There's a lot more going on behind the scenes than just, you know, two people sitting casually watching a hockey game. It's a busy, busy scene. I want to quickly move to a segment that I started that I call Six in Six. It was
Okay.
roughly, and I'll play the jingle.
It's
And
six in
it
six.
started off as six things, or let's go through the six teams in
Okay,
6 minutes if we can, and it might even be faster than that, but that's so it's a rapid fire, just so we can get a couple of quick things, maybe some surprising things. Are you up for it?
absolutely, let's do it.
Okay, and I don't even know if I have six. I think I have more, but it's a work it's a work in progress. It's on the fly. You're used to that. All right, so what was or what has been so far the best moment of the season for you in the P-Dub?
I will stick to what I had just talked about. I'm going to go game one, day one, being there for the very first puck drop. Yeah, that's it. But I do
That's
have so
you.
many others. Bell Center, very, very
Oh,
close second.
yes.
And then all of the magical moments in between, just seeing the comebacks and surprising moments and last minute goals, all of that. But yes, game one, day one.
Oh,
There you
so
go.
many firsts. Any of the
Yes.
these first big crowds. And okay, our next semi rapid fire.
Sorry, detour.
We're all. Can you pick an unsung hero person on or off the ice, whether it is in, the broadcast part of it or personal that for you with, just whether it's this season or in general?
Oh my goodness. That's a
Yeah.
really good question. I know you want a quick answer, so I'll try to give it to you. An unsung hero.
Or you, from your corner of the world.
Maybe I can use this chance to shine a light on our fantastic ringside reporters. We haven't had them every single game, but when they're there, it is awesome. They get so much more access to the players, get to spend a little bit more time down there, get to soak up the atmosphere. I loved, I'm going to shout out Julia Tesheri. She did a great interview with Deb Harrison, the super fan from Toronto. So all of those kinds of parts actually make, that was Reagan Subban. My
That was,
apologies. I
yes,
believe
I
it
was
was
sitting
Reagan
right
Subban.
next to her as it
Yes. It
happened.
was,
That's
I, it's
crazy.
because it was like back-to-back games and Julia did one, but either way, and they're not the only two. We have Signe Butler, it's so many others. It's been so great to work with. And I would say in some ways they're a little unsung heroes because, they pop in and out, but they're constantly working, right? They're constantly buzzing, they're constantly being observant and delivering that little that extra, not little extra, that extra to the broadcast and to viewers at home. So shout out to all the ringside
Shout
reporters out
out,
there. I've also done that work mostly
of
for
course.
football and not hockey. And it's great. It's such a cool experience. That's the very simplified word, cool, but
Yeah,
it's an incredible way to experience the game.
the PWHL, as they innovate in every way they can, those interviews right on the bench. I know the NHL has done that a little bit here and there, but they've interviewed players on the bench and just gone right to the immediate storyline. So that is, that's bringing the game up close. All right, our next one is to complete this sentence. Next year, comma, the PWHL will be dot dot dot. PWHL will be.
Bigger, better. I don't know. The PWHL will be back.
Back.
It'll be back.
It'll be back.
I
And what's
agree.
interesting, I know it was Cheryl who made the comment that once all the luster and the excitement and the first, and isn't this amazing, take it all in, maybe 10, 12 games into the season, now it's about the hockey, and I think the second season maybe there'll be logos or there'll be something to get excited about for sure. But it's going to be more and more about the hockey, the draft, the new players, the lineups, the defending champion, all of that will be, it will be into a season of hockey. Don't you think? The focus will be very much on,
Yeah.
who won the scoring race last year. And this is a, kind of more the typical storylines that you might see.
Well, that's the thing. We're going to have a year-over-year comparison all of a sudden that we haven't had. So there's still going to be a lot of firsts, and there are a lot of firsts that haven't, quite been broken. Maybe somebody will usurp Erin Ambrose's fantastic
4 points.
four points in one game. Maybe it's Erin Ambrose herself that does it, right? So there's all of those kinds of really cool moments that kind of come out. But I do think that we're just going to keep having firsts, which is an exciting part of this. Absolutely. The hockey is always front and center, and as you said, it's going to be more and more about that. And I think too, it's going to be more and more about the reality of players not being on the teams that they initially started with next season. And I think that's something
Yeah.
fans will have to be ready for, because there
Yeah.
will be some changes coming, right? At least that's what's being anticipated and expected. Enjoy the teams that you have right now. Cheer them on, cheer them loudly, be supportive of them, but also know that your favorite team could look a little different next year.
Good. Yeah, the draft is going to bring in a lot of new faces.
The draft and just the way that some of the contracts
The
are, right? And
contracts,
yeah,
they have the
absolutely.
many players on 1 year contracts. I discussed that with Eleni Demestahas, player agent, that they're
Exactly.
not sure. A lot of teams might well be, looking to re-sign, but there will be turnover, and that the trades brought us a little taste of that. You had to kind of welcome a new player and see players in different uniforms. So we're still kind of rapiding.
Yes, trying really hard. Okay, let's go, let's go, let's go. I'm back in the roller coaster
back
seat.
in the, yeah. What position would you play if you were on a PWHL team?
Okay, I love this because it just dawned on me that I think I'm quirky enough that I can maybe do goaltender.
I wondered about that. It takes a special person.
It takes a special person, and every time I watch one of those mic'd up with the goaltenders, I'm like, that's me. That's okay, maybe. But aside from that, I think the position I'd want to play, I think I'd want to play D, because I just think that they're so incredible. And then you get these D that just put the pucks in the net too. I'm like, oh,
Right.
that is so good.
Right.
Love to the forwards, but there you go. I've rounded all the bases there, but
Yes.
if I could just magically be super, super good at goaltending and suddenly join the PWHL, that would be great. I just love the energy and the vibe of
Goalies
the goaltender.
are yeah, I think Anne-Renee Debien was mic'd up during the All-Star showcase, but yes, it's quite interesting to hear them how calm they actually are
Yes.
when the heat is on.
Yeah, and they all have their little rituals and their little ways of doing things. And Maddie Rooney also had a great mic'd up for Minnesota as well. So I don't know. There's just something about that. I never thought about goaltending necessarily until meeting and getting to know some goaltenders and going, I think, yeah, maybe that's what my aptitude would have been.
I could see it. I could see Ponticello with a glove save and a beauty, a kick save and a beauty.
I'm way too small, but I love the thought.
Small goaltenders are more mobile, and there are a couple in the league that are on the smaller side, so it's
5 foot? I don't
definitely.
know.
Well, I'm sure Darren Pang, the announcer. He was one of the smallest ever. I don't know what the
There you
record
go.
is on the men's
Okay,
side.
you know what? I hear what you're saying. I'm going to try it. I'm going to go. I'm going to
Oh,
do open tryout.
we have to get a video crew out to do that one. Well, that was our semi rapid fire. Thank you for doing that. And we know you're busy. You probably have a plane to catch, and we're gonna see you in the playoffs, we hope. Just thank you so much for making the time today. It's been just great getting your point of view.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you as well for coming to say hi and telling me about how much the PWHL means to you. That is awesome. I love to
Yes.
hear that because that's what this is about. It's about sharing
Yes.
community and about remembering that as much as it is about the hockey, it is also about every single person who supports it, who feels included in it, who is enjoying this moment. And yeah, I mean, I don't know about you. I'm not quite ready for the end of the season. It's
Yes.
coming. But I'm not quite ready.
Yes. So just to expand on that, I did say hi to Danielle at the first game. I was a little too excited, having flown in and just, taking it all in at Mattamy, and said hi and asked Daniela to keep in mind the old G's that were, playing hockey back in the day when we did have to get dressed in separate dressing rooms and all of those kinds of things. And as much as we love seeing the next generation, my generation, and even those before, the PWHL has just fulfilled so many people's wishes and more than exceeded our expectations. But thank you, Daniela Ponticelli. We will see you around the rink on the air. We will hear your voice, and we just appreciate you for joining the podcast today.
Well, thank you so much.
All right.
PWHL Pop Drop Podcast.